Last week we reflected on the sad state of our society due to the fact that we have drifted away from Christ. And the writer of Hebrews advised believers to pay more careful attention to what Jesus says. Paying more careful attention to what he says means more than just reading what he says and understanding what he's talking about. It means that what Jesus says, should actually affect the way that we think and act as human beings, and especially as Christians. It should have an effect on our lives. We are transformed into the people that Christ desires for us to be when we allow Him to affect us and allow Him to affect the way that we think and allow Him to renew our minds. And when our minds are renewed, it's then that we act like renewed people. Paul told the Romans, "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to the ways of the world is what he was saying. Be transformed by this renewing of your mind, allowing Christ to renew us totally, especially in our minds. Most of us have used a recipe at some time or another in our lives. Maybe we've mixed up a cake like we talked about this morning with the kids. Maybe we've mixed up gas and oil in our chainsaws or in our dirt bikes. We call that a premix. Maybe we've mixed up some pesticides at some time or another, or insecticides, or maybe mixed some paint to get the proper colors. And like a recipe, like these mixes, we are affected in proportion to what gets thrown into the mix of our minds. But it seems so hard, doesn't it, for the one who calls themselves a Christian to listen to Christ's words and live like Christ says, because we're in the flesh and we're bombarded with temptations every day of our lives. You know, we walk away last week thinking, yeah, we need to pay more careful attention to what Jesus says. That's easily said, more easily said than done. It's a hard thing to do day in and day out. It's grueling, isn't it? And the writer of Hebrews knew that. That's why they continued on today. As the writer of Hebrews teaches us today, Jesus is superior not only in giving us His Word to live by, but also because of His mercy and His atoning work on the cross for all who fall short of His Word. I don't know about you, but I know that includes myself. So the writer of Hebrews continues today by saying, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house." So the writer, first of all, says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. How are we going to endure? How are we going to battle day in and day out to do more faithfully what Jesus says? He says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Because he was faithful to the one who sent him. He was faithful to God. The text here calls him the apostle and high priest. That word apostle means one who is sent. So he's saying to fix your thoughts on Jesus, the one who was sent, because he was faithful to the one who appointed him or who sent him. Just as Moses was faithful when God called him. He did what God appointed him to do, just like Moses did. Moses was the leader of Israel, the one who led the people out of bondage in Egypt. But Jesus now comes being superior to him, leading God's people, God's house, out of bondage of sin. The writer goes on to say, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. You see, even though Moses was the leader of God's people, which God's people were called the house of God, even though Moses was the leader of them, it was God who gave him the house or chose him to lead the people, and he was just a servant of God's people. And they were under the old covenant. But they say here that Christ has been found worthy of greater honor than his servant because Christ is the builder of God's house. The body of believers through faith in Christ under the new covenant. You see, we are God's house as the body of believers through faith in Christ under the new covenant. And there's a reason for comparison here between Jesus and Moses. Moses represented the law to the people. He was held in high esteem as not the direct giver of the law, but the one who God used as the giver of the law to God's people, the servant. But he represented the law, and the law was a guide or rules or commandments to direct our holy living. But there's one problem with the law. The law couldn't save. The law can't save us. There's no salvation in the law. What does the law do? It points to our sin. It tells you and I, you're lawbreakers, you're sinners. But Jesus is not only superior over the law of Moses because he lived it out, he's superior in providing freedom from the bondage that the law puts on us. Let me give you an example. I break the law. Depending on the penalty or the punishment, can I ever do enough to pay the penalty? You know, that's what's wrong with salvation by works. Can we ever do enough works to pay the penalty? Can I ever do enough to pay the penalty? The penalty for breaking God's law, that's called sin, breaking God's law. The penalty for sin, the wages of sin, the Bible tells us, is death. So what can I do to pay that penalty? Well, the answer is, I can die, can't I? But the sad part is, then I'll be dead. Unless something or someone dies in my place. And Christ did that for me at Calvary. He destroyed that burden that the law put on me because I'm a lawbreaker. And I'd say that makes him very superior over the law. The writer goes on to say, every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. In other words, God is the builder and the designer. He allows everything. Everything that happens, everything that's given, everything that's built, is only done, only happens because of God's will. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Why was he held in higher esteem than Moses? Because Christ is not working, only working in the house. He's working over the house. And he was faithful as a son. You see, the only one that inherits the house and has control over the house is someone that's in the family. A father, a son, the one who inherits the house, not the servant. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And although there are those whom God has called to be builders, nothing is built unless God allows it. And as far as God's house, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Moses did a great thing and was faithful to God as a servant, but Christ was faithful to God as a son and did a greater thing in dying for God's people and is now over God's house. Who is God's house? He says, we are God's house. We are his house. By holding on to our courage and hope of which we boast, we are his house. Who's that we that he's talking about here? Go back to the first verse. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling. What does that mean? Who are the holy brothers? First of all, that word holy means set apart ones or sanctified ones. He's saying, therefore, holy, set apart ones, those of you who are set apart or sanctified in the heavenly calling. We are his house. We hold on to the courage and the hope of which we boast. We, the holy ones, the ones set apart, are his house. And when we fix our thoughts on Jesus, then we can hold on to our courage and hope. Folks, if we cannot take the time in our lives to look heavenward, to fix our eyes heavenward, then we're only going to be looking and looking for solutions in an earthly manner? And how can we expect heavenly, divine results in our lives if we are not fixing our thoughts heavenward to Jesus Christ? What's the importance of fixing our thoughts on Jesus? How many of you have ever been tempted? How many times in those deepest, darkest times of temptation have you stopped to take a moment to think about Jesus? He is the friend that is next to you so that when you are confronted, you can turn to Him and say, "What should I do? What should I do? It's so hard." He's the one who spoke the words in red that we can meditate on daily to discern what we should do. We walk around pacing the floor, running out the carpet. I don't know what to do. 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 If we just take a moment to open up God's Word and meditate on God's Word, Jesus will tell us it's all in here, everything we need. How many of you have sat down lately and just simply thought about Jesus and wondered to yourself if He was happy with the way that you live your life? Have you ever just sat and pondered that and wondered, is He really happy with the way I'm living my life? Is He happy with the way that I treated that person? Is He happy with those words that I spoke or the way that I talked to those people? Have you thought about Jesus when you're on the internet? Have you thought about Jesus when you're texting someone? Have you thought about Jesus when you're out late at night with friends or even at work? In the middle of the battle, our minds are like a giant mixing bowl. What we allow to go in determines what our lives will be like when poured out and put in the oven of temptation. And with Christ as the main ingredient in our thoughts, we can rest assured that the product will turn out superior every single time. With Christ sanctifying our minds, we'll live courageously to be overcomers and hope to continue on. What does that big word sanctifying our minds mean? That's the continued work of the Holy Spirit in our bodies, helping us to grow in grace, to be those kinds of people that God wants us to be. The set apart ones, the holy ones. The brethren. The writer of Hebrews writes this paragraph in the context of the previous verses where they say, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, fix your thoughts on Jesus. You see, Christ overcame temptation and fulfilled the law in every way. Satan tried to tear Him down, but Christ was more powerful. How can anyone think that they can go it alone and defeat Satan? We like to think, oh, we're good people. We're good people. Turn on the television, listen to a lot of the guys on television. They're going to tell you you're good people. One of them in particular, I shuddered and almost started to cry one day when I heard an interview with one of them that are watched by thousands and thousands of people as they sat and told the men that were interviewing them, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean we should be preaching it and teaching it. And he said to them, you're going to destroy many, many beautiful, good people by doing that. Huh. You're going to destroy people with the truth? Yeah, probably some people are going to turn away. But think of how many people you're going to liberate. We have to think of it that way. We'd like to think that we're good people, but Isaiah really puts it in perspective when he says, all of us have become like one who's unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, and we shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away into oblivion. So what's the only hope for us? The person of Jesus Christ, who is superior in every way and able to help those who are tempted. And He helps us by renewing our minds so that we will have discerning minds and make wise decisions when all this stuff around us in the world is trying to lead us astray. We're transformed into the people that Christ desires for us to be when we allow Him to affect the way we think and allow Him to renew our minds. I want to challenge you this morning. The next time you have a major decision in your life to make, sit and think. Fix your thoughts on Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do if He were me? And what would He tell me to do in the circumstances that I'm in right now in my life? The psalmist says we rise up early and we stay up late, toiling or working in vain, trying to build an acceptable house. But unless the Lord is the builder, we are working in vain. The foolish man, remember the story of the foolish and the wise man in the Bible? The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and what happened? The rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the sand fell flat. But the wise man built his house upon the rock, something that was rock solid and firm, a firm foundation. And what happened to his house? The rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The difference is, the one man was wise because his mind was transformed and renewed, and he knew it was foolish to build on sand because his thoughts were fixed on the truth and stability and something that was rock solid. Jesus, the humble carpenter's son from Nazareth, is the master builder. And if we don't want our lives to fall apart, we must fix our thoughts heavenward on Jesus Christ in every situation in our lives, because He'll give us the courage and the strength and the hope to be the overcomers that He desires for us. Because He's not only the author of our faith, but He is the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. We thank You, O God.